Oh, hello, Ryan. You caught me mid-sip.
Mid-slurp as I was clicking
Mid-slurp.
record. This isn't our first episode that's been released in a while, but it is the first one that we're recording in what feels like a couple of weeks.
Yeah. We got ahead of ourselves in like a good way.
We did, yeah. I went back to work today. I was off for 10 straight days.
Wow. How did that feel?
I haven't been off work that long since maybe I went to Europe like 5 years ago. It was tough. I've been lucky. Like, I haven't really gotten the scaries in a long time. Like, I work remotely. Mm-hmm. I enjoy my job now. Like, Sundays don't scare me the way they really used to almost every single week. This was the first time last night in a long time where I was like, oh my God, I did not want to freaking do this. I don't want to get up and go to work. And it was fine. I mean, it was what it was, but it was just like a weird feeling. And I was like, damn, I can't believe I used to live with that type of feeling, like
every
week
day,
after
yeah.
week, and like being hungover every Sunday or drunk every Sunday night, like having that feeling on Monday. Like, I'm lucky I haven't had that in a couple of years, but yeah, it kind of all came rushing back, and then it was fine. But it was a feeling I hope to not repeat again.
Yes. What was the highlight of your vacation?
Yeah, so I went to Topsail Island.
Get the fuck out. I didn't know that's where you were in North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina, Topsail.
I've been
Surf
there a
City.
Bunch of times.
Oh, you have? Yeah? Well, I told you Surf City. You didn't say that you knew
it. I know, but Topsail versus Surf City, like, I know it's like right there, but I just didn't. I didn't put it together.
Like, when I went to buy knickknacks, it all said Topsail Island.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
but it was great. It was so the drive was long.
Yes,
8.5 hours there. When you're going there, so I went there with one buddy, and you're excited and you're ready to go, and you've got like a game plan, snacks, whatever. Like, the ride down there was truly great. We talked for 2 hours. We watched a 3-hour podcast for the next couple.
You watched it. That's cool.
We watched it, and then final 2 hours just kind of listened to music and got ready. So it really wasn't bad. The way back, I was squeezed into the backseat of Bones' car. Carol was in front, and his dog, Dudley, who's a fucking maniac, was, like, with me in the back. Mm-hmm. And there's traffic, and you're, like, bummed out. So that was bookends of the trip were the difference in kind of emotions. But it was great. I mean, we had a house right on the beach, literally walk out the front door.
Yeah, walk over the dunes, and you're on the
literally,
beach.
You're literally on the beach, which is fantastic. The weather was impeccable. I got a nice tan. I haven't been on the beach all summer. Water was so warm. We had a pool. We played games, had food. That was the best part of the trip for me. It was like being a hangout, play games, lay on the beach, swim in the ocean, all of those things. As you know, I also like to enjoy my vacation and go out. And they don't really have that vibe.
No.
So the first night,
there's like two restaurants there.
Yeah, there
Maybe
was
three.
Two. There's two bars: Trailer Bar and Tortugas. Was really the only two spots to go out. The first time we got there was Saturday, so we went out Saturday night, and that was good. It was popping off. Me and the waitress we went out to dinner, and I ordered a gimlet, and the waitress was giving me so much shit. She had like this red hair, and she literally flipped me off. She's like, "Fuck you! I'm not making you a gimlet," but like in a funny way. Like in the flirtatious way that I would also enjoy it.
Yeah.
So we're going back and forth all dinner, and then we asked her, like, where should we go? And she told us Trailer Bar. We went out. It was popping off, very busy, pool table, kind of like a dive bar-y vibe, which it was a bar that you would love.
Yeah, I do love
And the
dive
girls
bars.
Got up and played karaoke. I bought what felt like a bajillion drinks, and it cost me like $100.
Amazing. That's
amazing.
The best part about dive bars, honestly.
It was a really good vibe. However, again, as you know me, everybody wanted to leave, and I did not. So
classic.
And at this point, everybody's paired up except my one buddy whose girlfriend didn't come. So there's no single people on the trip except for me. But there's two guys, Teddy and Dylan, whose girlfriends didn't come. Dylan stayed the first half of the trip. Teddy came the second half. So, like, I get it. None of them wanted to stay past 1 o'clock. Why would you? Mm-hmm. But I was like, guys, I'm staying. I'm fine. I'm not, you know, I'm a capable human being. I always find my way. And Bones and the guys who knew best were like, yeah, all right, fuck him. We're going home.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the other ones were like, we can't leave him here. Like, what's going to happen to him? So I stayed and, you know, continued to shoot my shot with the waitress and shoot some pool. And there were starting to come, I don't want to say sketchy people, but like locals from the Wilmington area outside were coming into the bar, and like, there's some big motherfuckers. And
Oh, yeah.
I said something. There was this like 25-year-old, and he was like, "That's my dad." And he pointed this very young, 42-year-old, big fucking dude. He looked like Tormund from Game of Thrones. I was like, "That's not your fucking dad." I was like, "I'm gonna go fucking ask him right now." And so I did that. Probably shouldn't have done that. The guy didn't love the question. He's like, "Yeah, what about it?" And I was like, "Whoa." It's just a little bit of a weird, tense kind of conversation. And then I look around and I'm like, I don't know anybody. The waitress that I was trying to hit on was like what felt like doing heroin in somebody's car, I think. I don't know. She was just like she was like a little too wild even for me.
Yeah.
And so then I leave. It's probably like 2 a.m. And I put in, our address was 20-something like Surf Drive or whatever it was. Like literally like a half a mile down the road. I put in 1901. I put in like 19th Street in Wilmington. So I'm walking for miles and I'm wasted and I'm starting to get frustrated. I'm starting to realize now like I'm definitely lost and I couldn't figure it out. And this doesn't usually happen to me.
Yeah.
I usually do find
That's
my way.
Terrifying.
I'm screaming. I'm trying to hitchhike, which is a horrible idea.
Oh my God.
I'm calling the guys at the house. Nobody's answering me and I'm literally lost. And I was about to lay down in some grass on the side of the road. And Bones finally answered. Poor guy had to walk to come find me. He walked like 2 miles.
Aww.
I ended up walking so far. And I finally got back to the house at like 3 a.m. So,
what a good friend Bones is.
Good friend. And he came with no shoes because he didn't believe that I was as far as I was. And he woke up the next day so pissed because he had all these fucking blisters and everything. But that was the one night. But outside of that, like, no other bar of scene. It was like we went out on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We walked into the bar and we were literally the only people. Like there was not one other soul in the place. And then we went out again on Thursday because we just went home after that. And like there was like a few people, but just didn't have that vibe. But that was okay, I think. Everything else was great. It was just like exhausting because I do think all vacations are exhausting.
They are.
It was a relaxing, fun, much needed reset from in the world. Like we were drinking the whole time, but I was only really hungover once because you're drinking during the day and you're still in bed by like 11,
absolutely.
You know? So yeah, that was my week. I then went home to see the parents who watched Sunny the whole week and stayed and celebrated Labor Day with them, swam in the pool, cooked out, things like that. So that was my week and a half vacation, if you will. How was your Labor Day holiday?
My Labor Day holiday was lovely. I was at the lake with some friends. My friend's parents own a cabin in this little like lake community. And yeah, I mean, we drank, we floated, we ate, we played games, you know, very similar kind of vibe. It was kind of funny. So the one day, I believe it was Sunday. There's some storms rolling through. There was some lightning. There was some thunder. And we're just like out in this lake floating. And people are starting to like get out, clear off like the little beach area and stuff. And our one friend Justin was like a little, he was like kind of freaking out. He was like, "Guys, this is so cool. Like, what are we doing?" As we're literally just still floating in the lake with our drinks.
The guy from QVC?
No, a different friend, Justin. And it's raining, and again, we're still just hanging out there with our drinks floating. We're like, no, we don't really want to go in. And my friend's dad called later and was like, "Oh yeah, like I heard I guess people were posting in like this lake Facebook community, like, oh my God, there are people out there just floating."
About you guys?
Yeah. Well, during this storm, like, what is wrong with them kind of thing? And my friend's mom goes, "Oh my God, I bet it's Emily and her fucking friends," when her dad had said that, and lo and behold, yes, it was us. It was fine, though. It wasn't that close to us. You could see it, you could hear it, but it wasn't, I've seen way worse. So I just, like, didn't. I was like, okay, this is fine. I said, "Well, guys, we're in, like, rubber tubes. Doesn't this at least help?" And they were like, "Oh, no, that doesn't help at all." And I said, "All right, well, I'm fine. I don't feel scared that I'm going to get hit by lightning."
Group of daredevils, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no, the guys that were with us all got out. They were like, "Nah, we're
They
out." They
did?
did. They
So it's just the girls that stayed in?
Yeah.
That seems funny.
Yeah, they got out. They were like, "No, we don't love this." So, they went back to the place and they showered and everything. And we called them. We're like, "Hey, we're out of alcohol. Can you guys come bring us some more and some snacks, please?" And then like
So
the
you
storm
stayed
it
out there for a while.
Yeah, the storm then started to clear out, so it was totally fine. It was great. I had a blast. And I mean, you know, it's not like it was cold either. It was still warm when it was raining,
Yeah.
you know? So, yeah, it was a really good time. I woke up the next morning and felt like a. So, I attempted. Let me back up. I did feel like a sledgehammer hit my head the next morning, but. That is not from the alcohol. That was from, I decided to go off the diving board, and partway through the dive, I completely bailed on the flip that I was gonna do and just like landed directly on my head in the water.
Oh, that's like my fucking biggest fear of like scorpion getting paralyzed.
Well, yeah, I mean, so it was like deep enough that it was fine. But it was just like a little too high for my head to in like, you know, it's not like a low dive. There was a lower one and a higher one. You know, of course I was going off the higher one as
Can't
it.
you just like pencil or fucking go
Well,
off the lower one?
I did a dive next. I absolutely bailed though on that flip, and then my friend went up and she bailed on her flip, but she landed on her back. And her entire backside and the back of her legs were red for the next like 24 hours. And I was like, you know what? I think I'd rather hit my head. I came out and I was like, guys, I might have a concussion. They were like, here, have a rolling rock. And I said,
Yeah,
okay.
let's drink on a concussion and then go to bed. That'll work. You'll wake up with a stutter.
Yeah, I've already
That's what
had.
happens.
I know it. I had a concussion. I don't
One
think you
time
knew when I had that. Me? No, you did know me.
I did, yeah.
I
I
was
remember a
hiding from
story.
everybody because I sounded stupid when I talked.
Yeah, I remember watching America's Got Talent one time, and there was a stuttering comic, and they like went into his backstory of like how he was like this stud baseball player in high school, and he got a concussion, went to sleep, and woke up, and like had this like stutter and like
Oh
this
my
high-pitched voice
gosh.
now for the rest of his life,
That's
and it
wild.
changed like his entire trajectory. But now he's a famous comedian, so he found a way to
Well, there you
make it
go.
work.
Yeah.
He got like fifth place, and he has a show in Vegas.
Damn.
Well, it looks like sounds like we both had very fun weekends and holiday
Yeah.
weekends and stuff. I know that your trip is coming up in the,
It
what,
is.
2 weeks, right? Or a week and a
A
half.
week and a half. I can't believe it. It's wild.
But
I'm stoked.
me and you are hanging out on Friday
We are.
before you leave. I am actually bartending a bridal shower that you are
That
attending.
is correct, and I can't wait.
Yes, and she's not going to tip me, guys. She literally said, "I am not tipping you."
Yes,
And
that
I'm
is
working for
correct.
free, and she knows that.
That is correct. I immediately said I will not be tipping you.
No, but it should be fun. It's for our very good friends, Tyler and Tori, and we're going to meet out after for a culmination of different events. So it should be a fun night, which I am looking forward to bartending, as you know, and
Well, yeah,
I'm
I
sure
think it'll be
you're
fun.
looking forward to
To drinking? Yes, I
whatever you
am.
do at the bridal showers.
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends. Sometimes you play games, sometimes you don't. I have not been to an evening bridal shower before, to be honest. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be a little bit different than others that I've been to.
Yeah.
And.
Knowing Tori, she was like, "I don't want to fucking open gifts. I just want to go and hang
Ex
out and
Oh,
drink." So
thank
that's.
God. Okay, see, that's the other thing too. That's how I feel about bridal showers.
Yeah,
Y'all
so
know what
she
you're
said that
getting
to me.
anyways. Everyone else
Yes.
knows what you're getting too because they all looked at the fucking list, so.
Yeah. She says no desire to be like center of attention opening gifts. She was like, "I just want to hang out and drink with my friends." So that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, cool.
I'm sure like Josie and Tyler's mom will make her do something or say
Yeah,
something, or but
absolutely.
I do think the majority of it will be you guys just playing games, hanging out, and watching me, the bartender, get drunk while I serve you guys drinks as well.
Can't wait, can't wait.
All right. Well, that does it for our catch up. This is obviously Roll the Credits. We're here to talk about movies. And today we have the wonderful, one of my favorite actors, I think. And he's been in some of my favorite movies too, Tom Hardy. So just, I wanted
Very
to roll.
handsome.
Very handsome. And he's also jiu-jitsu, I can never fucking say it,
Jiu-jitsu.
jiu-jitsu champion now. That's what he's been focusing on. But taking a look at some of his movies that he's been in. Inception is one of my favorites of all time. Lawless, I love. Warrior, I love. The Dark Knight Rises, I love. Mad Max Fury, I like. The Drop, I like. Revenant, I like. Love him in Peaky Blinders. Like, he's got some great credits to his name. They're doing some sort of spin-off or sequel or whatever to Mad Max that he's going to come back to. I don't love him in the Venom movies, but a lot of people do. I mean, they're doing Venom 3 coming out soon. He's got a couple other movies that are in post and pre-production. So he's really got a strong resume.
He
I didn't
does.
watch too much of his stuff early in his career when he wasn't the lead, but since he started becoming the lead in like The Killing Game and Inception, obviously he wasn't the lead, but he's a big part of. He's really been great. I liked him in Dunkirk as well. He's got a good resume.
He really does. He's been in a lot, and just enjoy him in pretty much everything that he's been in, just, piggybacking off of literally everything you just said.
I do assume that you haven't seen nearly as many movies of his that I have, and I do also assume that you watched one of his movies that I just mentioned that I loved him in. So with that, I will let you go first because I would put a lot of money on that you watched one of four movies that are considered.
Which one of four do you think I watched?
I would say that there's a chance you watched Mad Max.
Okay.
There's a good chance you watched Warrior. There is a good chance you watched Lawless. And there's a chance you watched Capone. So those are the four that I would say that you
All right,
watched.
well, I did give you the year, so that should have been a hint for you. I did watch Warrior, from 2011.
I genuinely did forget what year you told me.
Oh, cool. Nice. All right, well, anyways, starring Tom Hardy, Nick, is it Nolte or Nolte?
Nick Nolte. Nolte.
Nolte. Joel Edgerton, Kevin Dunn, and Frank Grillo. Kevin Dunn is one of my favorite, I'm not gonna call him like an A-list actor. He usually doesn't really star in things, but he's a great support in whatever he does. He was in a Veep. Have you watched Veep?
I haven't, but I'm looking for a new show. Maybe that'll be the one.
Oh, I fucking love Veep. It's such a good show. It's so funny. But anyways, so this movie is again from 2011, and it's about two sons, Brendan and Tommy. Tommy is played by Tom Hardy, and Brendan is played by Joel Edgerton, and their father's Nick Nolte, and his name's Patty Conlon. And Patty was kind of a shit father. He was drunk, he was abusive, is an alcoholic, and he wasn't there for his boys. And then eventually, Tommy and his mother left, and you find out pretty early on that she dies, and she and Tommy had a really rough life. And Brendan stays with his dad. He ends up married to a woman named Tess, and they have two daughters, and he becomes a high school physics teacher. And Tommy is a former Marine. And one day he shows up on his father's doorstep, and he's very clearly drunk and on pills and whatnot. And they kind of get into a little bit of an argument. And the next day Tommy goes and joins a gym. And that night Patty is watching all of these old videos from Tommy's fighting days. He was a wrestler. He did, I think they were both UFC fighters at one point. But yeah, so Patty trained him, and Tommy's the younger of the two brothers. And he's real messed up. He He used to be a very happy kid, and now he is the complete opposite of that, really. And anyways, the story goes that Brendan is about to lose his house because he and his wife have been paying for treatments for their daughter's heart. And she's doing better now and whatnot, but they're still very behind on payments and everything. And Tommy's not doing anything. He came back from the Corps and decided to start fighting again. And they both start fighting and they enter the Sparta. Is it the Sparta? What's it called? I forget right now.
I'm not sure. It's been a while since I've seen it, to be honest with
It's
you.
like a single elimination round of MMA fighting, basically. And I'm gonna also just throw out there that this gave me a really new, surprising appreciation for MMA. I kind of wrote off like cage fighting and whatnot. I was like, oh, that just seems stupid. But it is, whoa, there is a lot to it. There is a lot to it. And it gave me a lot of respect for the people that do it. You have to be one gritty motherfucker to do that. That's for damn sure.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, you are just getting pounded on out there by another human being, and that is all like ungodly large and strong. And they have you in like different hold, like choke holds and stuff. Nah. You're not even getting me to enter a cage. Let alone, I wouldn't even want to be like close to one either.
You took on a lightning storm, Tina. You could take on anything.
Thanks so much. That is far different. Statistically speaking, I was far less likely to get struck by lightning.
They would literally kick your knee and your life would be over.
Exactly. I'd be done. I'd perish in that moment. Actually, Joel Edgerton tore his MCL while filming that movie, so they had to
Was some
like,
gnarly stunts that they were doing.
yeah. So they had to stop filming for like 6 weeks because of that. And Tom Hardy actually broke some toes, his ribs, and some fingers as well.
Oh, such a good fucking movie.
Oh my God, it was amazing. And like, man, the two of them, the energy that they brought was incredible. And I mean, same with Nick Nolte. Like, he played like the alcoholic training father, like as best you can, really. But yeah, so anyways, they both end up entering this Spartan competition, and I'm not gonna give anything else away, but I cried at the end. I cried at the end of this
It's
movie,
a great fucking movie.
and I was shocked that I cried. I was shocked that I liked it as much as I did. I was shocked that I cried, and I was shocked that I might start watching MMA because it was that good. It was that good. And like, they had like commentators and stuff talking about like what the guys were doing during it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually like, I've never watched any of that.
It's like weird, like you go into it with the perspective of like it's an MMA movie, like I don't know how attached I'm gonna get to it, like I don't like that sport. And I mean, I liked MMA more than you, and I, you know, but the way they do it, you walk away with just like this. It's a top, I think, three sports movie for me of all time.
Oh,
It
yeah.
might be the best sports movie I've ever seen. It's really hit spectacular in every facet, I think.
It really is. And I kind of feel like it's very clear that they spared like no expense in producing this film as well. And I know it had like nominations and stuff. I think Nick Nolte won. I think Best Supporting Actor maybe. But it was interesting too. Because Tom Hardy had the first like credit, I kind of expected it to be a little bit more about him. But I think it was a little bit more about Brendan Conlon. But it was cool too, like seeing his students support him. Like, that's your physics teacher. Like, can you imagine your physics teacher also being an
Nah.
MMA fighter and then
My
just
physics
like.
teacher was a big fatso.
But yeah, like watching that, I don't know. It was a really, really freaking cool movie. And I just very much appreciated it and thought everyone in it did a fantastic job. The acting was second to none. IMDb gave an 8.2, Rotten Tomatoes gave an 84%. I am right in the middle with an 8.3. Highly recommend. Please go watch it. If you have HBO Max, you can watch it there. I'm pretty sure you can probably watch it other places, but that is where I watched it. And ooh, there were so many topics I felt like we could talk about. But you know, at the end of the day, I think the overarching thing for me is like no matter what happens, you have your family and they will, you know, like do anything for you kind of thing. But I wanted to talk about that and how that also like translates to friendships as well. So like, you know, like about people in your life that, you know, you could go years, you imagine, like without talking to, but you come across them, let's say a decade later, and even if you had a falling out or someone or something, like they would still be there type deal. Like, what does that look like for you? Are you more of a Tommy who is kind of hateful about it, or are you more of a Brendan who looks back on it and is like sorry for what they did, but also can rationalize like that it's in the past in a sense? Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. I don't really know how to answer it though, because I think I've been fortunate enough to not really have had to go through anything like that before.
Right.
I don't really find myself as like a hateful person. I believe that I would be able to, I believe I'd be, I don't think I could ever get back to a point of like, if it was like a family or a close friend that, was whatever, there was a falling out and, a big thing happened. I don't think I could ever be someone that got back to the point before everything happened. But I do believe that if our paths were to cross again, that there wouldn't still be hatred in my heart. I would hope not. I think that Tommy's very troubled, as you see in the movie, and that's where a lot of the hatred stems from. I think that if you hold hatred for so long, it's because you have something rotten inside of you that you need to fix. And that only starts and ends with you. So I would like to think that while, I'm sure at some point in my life something like that will happen. Hopefully not, but I'm, odds are something along those lines could happen. I'd like to believe that if that did and circles came back around, paths crossed, wires crossed, whatever, in 5, 7, 10 years down the line, that there wouldn't be hatred held in my heart, that it would be like, okay, you look back on it, you're apologetic. It's a bummer that that happened. And not that we can move on and start fresh, but we can, we can at least in this moment live and be in this moment. And that's all I could think that I'd be able to do. Like I said, I think if I came back and had hatred, that more things went wrong, whether it was because of it or in response to it. I think that hatred held on to grudges, I really believe just eat away at you. A grudge doesn't really do anything to the other person. It just eats and eats and eats and eats at you. And I think finding a way to forgive yourself, forgive someone else, not necessarily go back to the way it was, but move forward with your life, is the best way to go about it. And I would like to think that that's what I would be able to do.
All right.
I don't know if that answered your question, but
No, it does. I mean, I didn't really ask you like the most direct question, so that
what it
suffices.
Are you on the same?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there's always a path forward. Yeah, it I also believe that it shouldn't look like how it did before, pre whatever happens.
Right.
That wasn't good for someone for some reason, and because of that issue, I think it should be different, and I think that you can definitely work towards a type of relationship that can be fulfilling for both of you, and it doesn't have to look the same that it did before. It shouldn't look the same as it did before, and it should, it doesn't have to be this wonderful, great thing. Like, if it looks like y'all can talk and see each other maybe a couple times a year, great. If it looks like you're very close again and you start building up that, closer friendship and that trust again, also great. I don't think there's really a right or wrong. And, if you can't imagine getting to that point for whatever reason, I also respect that because, maybe it's not necessarily hatred, but maybe it's something else that's like making you pull back. And, you gotta do whatever is best for you as a person and for your mental health and for your being and whatever kind of gives you peace. I do not believe at all that hatred will give you any of that peace, but if it means cutting that person off and not speaking to them again, even if they come back, then so be it. I mean that, you can do that in my opinion, in a polite and dignified and diplomatic way. I think, honestly, I think now it's easier to, well, I don't know. I was gonna say now I think it's easier to kind of manage that. But honestly, I think it's harder because you have to like sever ties with them in person, but you also have to like sever ties with them likely on some form of social media. And they kind of always have your number, I guess. But
Yeah, I agree. I was gonna say, I think it's harder today because,
yeah, you don't get that clean break like you used to.
you don't only have to sever them. Like, if it
Right.
was as bad as it was, like, you got to sever other people that are gonna take, like, in a situation, there's always sides to be taken. Not necessarily like who was right or wrong, but like, there are people that are gonna ride with you, and there are people that are gonna ride with the other person, and like, you got to
Absolutely.
cut those people out of your life, and that stinks, right? You never want to do that. We're seeing it in real time with Good Luck Darling and all of the things that
Don't worry, darling.
don't, I always say good luck.
Yeah, I don't know why.
All the things that's happening in real time with that cast of fucking degenerates.
Yeah,
But
that's a that's fascinating, whatever is going on. I would love to know what the hell happened on that set, 'cause man, a lot of things certainly did. And I hope one day, like maybe 15, 20 years from now, there's a documentary that comes out on like what actually happened behind the scenes of Don't Worry, Darling.
I feel like there's a documentary on everything nowadays, and so like, yeah, I don't want to get off topic of your movie, but yeah, hopefully there is a documentary because as we both talked about every day, we're both equally obsessed with what the fuck
We
is going
are.
on with that movie.
It's wild. And there's something new every single day. Which, I kind of love. And I did bring up the point. I'm totally going off topic, but I really want to discuss this
It was my
briefly.
fault. I
That's
apologize.
okay. I brought up, like, oh, is this, like, I feel like some of this has to be planned. Like, I feel like they have to be.
People are saying that now.
Yeah, some of it. Not all of it. Definitely not all of it, but some of it. Just to,
There's
like.
stuff that's irreprimandable though. Like
Yeah.
this. Like, did you see the Shia LaBeouf text messages released today?
Oh, no, I didn't. I'll have to look at those.
Someone leaked the text messages between Shia and Florence, and Olivia stated that, obviously, as we, you've seen that Shia was fired from the film
Nah, he left.
for like being aggressive, making Florence uncomfortable. Like, Shia and Florence never met, and someone leaked these text messages, and like they're both so sweet to each other. Like,
Wow.
Florence was like, "I'm sorry, I can't make rehearsals. Like, someone in my family passed away. Like, do you want to jump on a call? Like, I can make any time work." And he was like, "Don't worry, G. Like, do your thing, and I wish you all blessings." And what, the way that Shia talks,
Yeah.
and like they got on FaceTimes, and then like he said in a text message, like she was like, "I'm so sorry, this didn't work out," and he was like, "Don't worry about it at all. Like, it's not you. I'm gonna let them know I'm leaving tomorrow morning. Every blessing." And like it's like right there written down that he's leaving, that like these two never met. These two are very cordial and borderline sweet in text messages between each other. There's like a whole paragraph from Florence saying like, "I don't want you to think that like I'm not trying to like be around you," because it was all around the same time the allegations came out. And like she wrote this whole thing of like, you know, "I really respect you, and you know, I think it would be, we'd be great together." It's just crazy.
That's hilarious. Someone quoted Olivia Wilde today, I think because of what was that, last night or the night before, whatever she said at the premiere. She was like, "We're so lucky to have Flor." Like, she just gassed Florence up, and I was like, this is insane to me. It's like,
And they don't even like talk or look at each
no,
other.
no. And then like Harry steps away from a lit man. I'll tell you
It's so
what,
wild.
it
And I
is.
love, you know, my favorite part of the whole thing is Nick Kroll just like being there and being so fucking happy for Florence, kissing Harry on the mouth, like jumping up and down Chris Pine. Like, Nick Kroll's just there to try his best to like make everybody happy. But like, it's so weird because Florence can't be around Harry, and Harry can't be around Olivia, and Florence can't be around Olivia, and like, it's a wild scene. And
Olivia
like,
and Chris, not Olivia, Florence and Chris, though, are fine. With, you know,
But
great
like,
for
you could see
them.
Chris like withering away while Harry tries to talk. Like,
Yeah.
it is crazy. Like, I do think, I don't necessarily think that Harry got the job because they were fucking, because I don't think they started fucking until he got on set.
Yeah,
But
I think so.
the difference in an actor's caliber like Shia LaBeouf and actor's caliber like Harry Styles is just monumental. I mean, Shia's craft is spectacular. Call him crazy, call him what you want, but like, he's a spectacular actor. And Harry Styles, up to that point, all he's done has been like the fourth lead in a movie like Dunkirk, where there's no word spoken, and has also played in a superhero movie, which, in my opinion, as we talked about, is not a hard form of acting. So then you put him in this piece, this romantic thriller type of film where he's the lead and needs to carry it, and he just sounds like a fucking moron in these like press conferences. And I like Harry, I do. I just, you know.
I will say, I kind of feel like Harry was picked for the sex appeal.
Yes. And I think
Because,
that's why Florence was so mad.
yeah.
Because there was a quote where she said, like, "Everybody's focusing on the most popular man in the world going down on me." Like, that's in these scenes, and she's like, "That's not the reason we made this movie." So I think there's probably frustration stemmed from him being selected as a sex appeal choice, and then you pair that together with Florence being friends with Jason Sudeikis and the cheating that happened publicly on that set between the director of the fucking film who picked Harry and cast Harry. I think all just culminates into like, "I don't fucking respect you, and I just want to be
Absolutely.
out of this fucking movie." But good for Florence. While the reviews aren't great in the movie, everybody has revered that she's been fantastic. So, God bless her.
Yeah. Love it. All right.
I don't blame anybody but Olivia Wilde. I don't even blame Harry, to be fair.
Interesting. It
I
takes two
mean,
to
maybe.
tango.
Yeah, but like, he's not doing. It's weird. It is a double-edged sword. Like, he knew,
It
obviously, they're
is,
a public
yeah.
figure. You know that they're married and stuff. But like, technically, I don't really know what he did wrong, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, I don't think they were even married. I'm pretty sure they were just like engaged or just like lifelong, 10-year-long
Jason and
partner.
Olivia.
Yeah, I don't think they were
Yeah, they
married.
were engaged for 7 years,
Yeah.
but they have
I
two
mean, yeah,
kids.
right, exactly. No, I mean, I think either way, it certainly takes two people to do that, but at the same time, I think more responsibility absolutely falls on the person who is in the relationship. That's just my personal opinion. Like, it's not really Harry's job to be like, you're married, sorry, or like you're engaged, or, you know, whatever. Like that, I don't
And I'm
know.
also looking at it from the lens of like, take it out of the Hollywood setting and put it into a corporate structure.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
like That's like your director hooking up with, that's like
Yeah.
your boss hooking, who's married, hooking up with you or me or
Yeah.
whatever. Like
Yeah. Oh my
that,
God.
in
Yeah.
that
It's a
lens, that's
power
even,
dynamic difference and everything. And that certainly takes, Yeah. No, you're totally right.
Well, that was a tangent. I'll blame myself. I don't. We probably should have talked about it in pre because, or like at the beginning of the show because we've been talking about it so much.
We should have, but it's fine. A little mid-show break.
Took the spotlight away from a fantastic movie, so I apologize.
Well, we didn't really take it away. I still recommend that, and everyone go watch Warrior.
8.3.
8.3.
All right.
Lock it in.
So, there wasn't many movies in which Tom Hardy was the lead in that I had to choose from. There's a few, but what I ultimately ended up going with was a movie from 2013 called Lock.
Okay.
And this is a type of film that I haven't necessarily loved in the past, but I wanted to give it a chance. He is the only person in the movie. There's literally nobody else.
Oh.
It is a one-shot movie. So he plays a character named Ivan Locke. He's a very successful construction manager of all the biggest buildings in Europe. He's got what seems to be a lovely family, two kids, loving wife. But again, you don't see any of this. The way that you know all of this is his drive at the end of his shift at one night he gets in his car and the whole movie is shot from him getting calls and calling people from his car phone.
Wow.
And so it's a very interesting dynamic. And I always find it difficult to hook people because it all falls on Tom Hardy's shoulders as the
Right.
actor to hook you, entice you, make you feel things.
And he used to
And I
do that
thought
with
it,
just words, for the
yeah,
most
with
part.
just words, yeah. I thought he did a pretty good job. You know, again, this isn't my favorite type of movie, but I wanted to give it a shot. I knew it from reading the description, that's what it was going to be like. Pretty much what it is encapsulates all of life's problems and potential issues and tough conversations and where your problems stem from. It encapsulates all of that into his 2.5 hour drive to London. You don't know why he's going at first. You don't really know what's going on at all. He has his kids calling him saying, you know, when's he going to be home for the soccer match? Mom's putting sausages on. And then he's saying he's not going to be home. And then he's calling his work friend and his work partner or whatever, and they have the biggest pour in Europe. Like he's a concrete guy. They have the biggest concrete pour in Europe history tomorrow morning. He's saying like he's not going to make it. Something came up. And you're like, what is going on? And then what you realize is that he's had an affair with a woman, and she is going into labor 2 months earlier than expected,
Oh,
and
wow.
with his and it's his baby. And you get the understanding that he was an all-around great person. You know, when he calls in and tells his boss he's not going to be able to make it to work tomorrow, he's like, they're like, how could you do this? Your 10 years of excellence, you know, is riding on this. And he calls his wife and he tells his wife and she's like, I don't think this doesn't even sound like you. Like who, like you could tell he's a family
Wait,
man.
she
He's really,
like, he
really
tells her about the affair, and then he's
on the way to the
having,
hospital.
okay.
And it wasn't even, I guess I don't know if affair is the right word. Is I don't know if affair insinuates that it's ongoing, but it was a one-time thing
Gotcha.
that happened, and she ended up getting pregnant and keeping the child. Yeah, it's a journey. I mean, his whole life is upended and changed in this 2.5 hour car ride. He's about to be a father. He might lose his job. He might lose his family. And in the meantime, he's also talking to his imaginary dad in the back of his car. And you realize where all these problems stem from and what the decision that he's making in saying, I'm not going to abandon this child like you abandoned me. I'm not going to take the easy road. I am not going to do X, Y, and Z. Like, I fucked up and I'm going to fix my fuck up. He's like, I'd be so
Okay.
easy to just let her go, live my life, whatever. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. So that's kind of the journey it takes you on. Still, for me, it's difficult with no other characters. It's difficult with no other faces. It's difficult with just Tom Hardy and voices on the phone. But it was a very well-received movie. IMDb gave it a 7.1. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 91%. So the reviews were quite good. For me, it's just not my type of film. So I gave it a 6.3, but I do
Okay.
believe that Tom Hardy did a good job. Like, he did make me feel things. Like, at the end, I was like, oh, fuck, man. I do, like, I feel for, like, everything that's going on.
I have a question. When the people were on the phone, could you tell that they were on the phone? Like, did it have that kind of sound to it? Or was it like clear? Were the voices clear? Like, was there that
No, you
like
could,
techie kind of
yeah,
sound?
you could tell they're on the phone.
Okay.
So, like, the phone people were played by big actresses. Like, Olivia Colman was in the movie.
Okay.
A couple other people that you would recognize, but, like, again, just by voices. So, yeah, you could tell. It was tough to know what to talk about exactly. I think for me, the whole premise of the film was him having to have all of these difficult conversations in one night, in 3 hours.
Yeah.
When you're approaching a difficult conversation, whether that be with something that you fucked up with, whether that be with work, whether that be with family, you know, whatever that difficult conversation for you is, and again, whether that's on the phone or in person, how do you kind of gear up for that?
How to
What are the
prepare?
emotions? What are the things that you're feeling in that in those moments? Whether it's impromptu or it's prepared.
If it's impromptu, I'm much better. If it's prepared, I am off the wall fucking anxious. Like, if I know, like, if someone, like, let's say, for example, at work will reach out to me and be like, "Hey, can we talk?" Like, I don't love that. I don't,
Your
like,
mind's spinning.
yeah, my mind's spinning, even though it's likely not a big deal, or like it's fine. I'm like, oh my God, what could I have done wrong? And then I go through everything that I could have potentially done wrong. And that's just how my brain is. And I truly wish it weren't that way. I feel like that's something I can probably unlearn in therapy, but add that to the list of things. But yeah, I just. If it's like a hey, can we talk? And I get no context and I have to wait. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah,
The
I agree with
absolute
that.
worst.
It is the worst.
But if someone's like, hey, can we talk about this? And they give me a topic and they give me a time. And this is just like in life in general. Then, like, yeah, I'm cool with that. I don't care. Like, I'll organize my thoughts beforehand. Like, I'll kind of write it down, to be honest. And sort of figure it out in my head if I don't have the ability to write something down at that time. But yeah, that's sort of how I go through it. Sort of methodically. I try and also look at it from multiple perspectives as well prior to having the conversation. So I look at it at the perspective of, okay, well, this is how I feel, and I feel this way because XYZ. And then I kind of look at it from the lens of why do I feel this way? And is there something that I could be doing better? And how could these things like be perceived by the other person? And is that person that is perceiving XYZ from me perceiving it in the same kind of way type deal? I overthink the hell out of everything if you just can't tell by that answer, but generally speaking, I get anxious and I overthink things. But at the same time, if it is like spontaneous, I at least like take my time and kind of think about it for a minute. Like I'm not one to quickly fire back and respond if I have the opportunity to kind of briefly think about it. I just need that time to like kind of process. I'm not the best processor on the spot, but again, I feel less anxious if it is on the spot. So it's like this weird contradiction of, okay, well, I can have a better conversation if I'm prepared for it, but also I'm extremely anxious leading up to this conversation. So how do I strike the balance of not being wildly anxious and getting all of my thoughts across versus kind of fumbling with my words if it's on the spot? But not being so anxious. So, yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I think a lot of the same way. I overthink the shit out of it. Well, like, I just create scenarios in my head that,
Oh, all
like,
the time.
realistically would never fucking happen. And it's just like I
And
and it
it's always
also
worst case too.
well, I was literally just gonna say my mind immediately goes to the worst case scenario. Like, well, truly, like what Ivan Locke was living in this fucking car ride.
Yeah.
He cheats on his wife one time. That woman gets pregnant, wants to keep the child, is in labor 2 months early, misses the biggest job assignment of his life, and you know, like that is kind of the worst case scenario.
That is, yeah, and that's sort of how I expect my life to go. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, dead ass. I feel the same exact way. Like it's. Even if it's like a small thing, and even if it's like me not in the wrong, I'm like,
Oh,
oh my fucking
same, yeah.
God, like this is the this is the, I'm going to jail. It's like, all right,
Yep.
it's like a step back. Like someone threw you a candy bar they didn't pay for outside of the gas station. Like you're not, like obviously that's a ridiculous example, but
Right,
my
no, I get
mind
it.
just like it races, and
Same.
if I don't put much thought on it, like. When I'm anxious and I don't like, I'll just think about it all the time, especially when I lay down to go to bed.
Oh yeah, that's the best time.
Like
Oh,
if I
you think
do
I'm up until
something,
like 3 a.m. all the
like
time?
if you do something, you're like, oh fuck, I don't like that that happened, or I don't like that I did
Yeah.
that. I'm like laying there and I'm thinking like, oh my fucking God, like X, Y, and Z is gonna happen. This is gonna be terrible. It's gonna ruin my whole life. And like realistically, like if you really take a deep breath, think about the possibilities of what's gonna happen. Sure, there's some things that aren't gonna be lovely, not gonna be easy conversations, but. You know, your life's not going to be over
Yeah.
99% of the time. But your brain just doesn't allow that. It's so fucking weird.
It really is. I also think that we have both sent each other texts at
Yeah.
very odd hours in the morning, just kind of being like, oh my God, I'm so
I
fucked.
think we both walked each other off some ledges
We
before in the
have,
past.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, knock on wood, I haven't. Really had too many things like I've had to think about recently or in a while, which has been good.
We love not thinking.
yeah, but yeah, I so for me, like work things and things like that don't necessarily bother me. Like I'm good with like, okay, let me prepare myself, whatever I want to talk about. Like if it's a serious conversation about work things or with my boss or whatever, like I don't really get too anxious about that. Like those things I can handle and prepare
Yeah.
for. It's like
And
it's. More things that I've done that are like out of character,
yeah, I
things that
agree.
I fucked up on, where I'm like, okay, I'm in the wrong, and I don't know how I'm going to handle this because how do I explain what happened or, you know,
Right.
without using
And
excuses?
how many times too have we been like, oh, we really fucked up, like in general, and kind of been like had that conversation with someone, they're like, dude, you're fine, like it's not a big
Yes.
deal, you know,
Yeah,
like
like
you
you
don't
tell
need
someone
to.
else, they're like, it probably won't ever even come up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like
but like in
that's, isn't that like the spotlight effect or something? Where you think everyone's just like so in tune to everything you're saying and thinking and doing.
Yes, every like your mind always thinks that everyone's thinking about you at all times, and
Yeah.
it's like,
And people really aren't.
buddy, you're a passing thought in 99.9% of people's lives, like, you
Yeah.
know,
No, I
and in
mean,
the
it's
grand
not.
scheme of things, like. Not like a lot of stuff, like there's not a lot of things that are like irreversible or like fixable or
Right.
like can talk about it and figure it out, like you know. But it's weird. It's weird the way your mind makes you think like this is a monumental thing that you fucked up and you're never gonna be able to fix it. It's fucking ridiculous.
It really is. It really is. I don't love it.
Well, Ivan Locke. In the grand scheme of things, was trying to do the right thing after doing the wrong thing, and that's kind of the journey that this car ride takes you on. Again, it's not necessarily my type of movie, but the reviews are really good. Tom Hardy is spectacular in it. He does a very, very good job at making you feel the emotions that he's going through, pain, sorrow, frustration, anger. Like he touches every, even happiness at one point. You know, he kind of touches everything and. If that's something that you enjoy, then I'd recommend it. Like I said, it got really good reviews. 7.1 and 91% are really good. So
Yeah.
I locked in at 6.3, but that's really just because it's just not for me. So we'll do that. Warrior 8.3, Lock 6.3, and it is now time for Tina's good news story of the week.
All right, all right, all right. So this one is called A Guard Cat Named Bandit Helped Prevent a Late Night Armed Robbery. This 20-pound feline lives with her retired owner, Fred Everett, in Mississippi. And Bandit woke Fred up one night and was just like clawing at him, just hitting him, trying to get him awake and like ripping the covers off of him. And he was like, "What the fuck is this cat doing? Like, this is so weird. This cat has never done this before." And it was between like 2:30 and 3 a.m. So it's late at night. And then as soon as he woke up, he knew something was wrong because she like raced out of the room. And he got up to investigate, and he saw two young men outside his back door. One had a handgun, and the other was using a crowbar to pry it open. But the cat scared them off, and he returned to the kitchen, and they were gone. And
Wow.
he didn't call the police. He was like, "Whatever, they didn't actually get into my house."
Sounds like Tyler's devil fucking cat.
So, Bandit, the calico cat, who weighs 20 pounds, stopped a break-in. So, cats are useful, Calvin. That's my good news story. I don't really
Sure.
think that was actually like great news, but
He's a burglar.
yeah, but the cat scared it away. So, I guess this
That's
is
true.
my
It's really just a cat story.
PSA, yeah, PSA to people to get yourself a pet, period. I don't think it matters what kind of pet,
Fuck you.
just as long as it can scare some humans. Side note, did you see that someone had a therapy alligator in Philadelphia?
I did at Love Park.
Yeah, that terrified me. I would lose my shit if I saw an alligator in the city.
Some people are so weird, I'll tell you
I'd
what.
cry. I'd literally cry and run away. Or like hobble away, I guess.
All right. So, all right, that is episode 103. Let's go to the wheel quickly. So, there's one or two names on here that I really would love to get. Oh, fuck. Please hit the line. That. It's so fucked up. They're good actors. I won't even say it out of respect.
Great.
But it was a line between two. All right, here we go. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
With your luck, it's gonna land on that person.
It almost did. But it did not. It landed on Miss Jessica Biel.
All right.
I'm trying to think what I know Jessica Biel from. I know her
Seventh
most
Heaven.
recently. Yeah, I guess I do. I don't really watch that. What I recognize her from, or what I've watched her in the most recently, was The Sinner, that TV
Oh
show that
yeah,
was
that's
like
such a good
so
show. It's so fucked
fucking
up.
crazy. She's only got 49 credits, and a lot of it's TV. Well, actually,
Interesting.
I shouldn't say a lot, but recently she hasn't done a movie. No, she hasn't done a movie since 2017. Still married to Justin Timberlake, I believe.
Yeah,
I know they went through
shockingly.
a little bit of a rough patch.
And I say shockingly because I think he's kind of a tool bag.
She's beautiful.
She is.
All right, well, we've done both Jessicas now, Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel, so we'll look into her next week. Schedule is going to be a little bit up in the air while Tina is in Hawaii. We're going to see if we can record ahead of time so that we don't miss any weeks, but I might also get a special guest. We'll do our best to keep going, and you guys have been enjoying the new season of the podcast. So this was episode 103 of Tom Hardy. Roll the credits, and we will see you next week with Jessica Biel. And as always, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Tina.
All right, and this was Roll the Credits. Thanks, guys.
Bye.